categories of ways in which we deal with our, and this is in the Vajrayana, ways in which we deal, or the tantras, with our occluded emotions. The first one is to learn, more than anything, we have to learn how to recognize them. This is why we develop the tranquility meditation, the shine meditation. We have to slow ourselves down enough so that we actually can see the mind, we can feel the sensations, and we can look at them without being overwhelmed or obsessed by them. We start making the habit of actually feeling what we're feeling without letting it make us go unconscious, and we're driven into behavior, and then we're dealing with the karmic consequences of our behavior. So the first activity when we engage in emotion, when we realize that a circumstance is happening, and let's take anger because it's the most common. When anger arises, in our beginning work with these practices, we try to impose antidote. So each of the emotions has an antidote. With anger, it's to generate compassion. Forgiveness and compassion for self and other. Forgiveness and compassion. With jealousy, it's to develop, the antidote is to, you can just close it. It's to develop the ability to rejoice in the joys of others. With greed, it's to practice generosity. So this gives you an idea. You learn about the antidotes, and they're actually in your text, in the Tara text. Well, the Tara text in the section where it's the 10 virtuous and non-virtuous deeds, and then the 10 harmful emotions and their antidote. So that's the first mode in which we deal with emotion. The second mode is transformation. We instantly transform ourselves into the body of the deity. Now, it can be, if we are doing Tara practice, we transform ourselves into Tara, and we deal with the problem as Tara. Of course, if we're doing a Tara practice, we should be continually doing this all the time. We are Tara, and the rest of the world is this magnificent drama, and Tara is playing out the game of attaining enlightened mind. And every aspect of the universe and every aspect of our body is Tara. So we have trained to do that. But this is the training, so we're in the beginning. And then, let's say, okay, the images of the Dakinis are really powerful. So especially if something like a sense of insecurity arises. So I'm going to really work with Ratna Dakini whenever that happens. Okay, so you do that. Ratna Dakini becomes the one that you work with. Every time, because you start to notice that in the circumstance, you know, like I'm in a situation now that I'm teaching. So and this is a common situation when you are taking a position of some form of authority that you feel insecure. It automatically happens. And so to combat that insecurity, you may deal with people in a somewhat overbearing way, imposing your ideas about the way things are supposed to be upon them. It's a gesture that stems from your sense of, well, maybe I don't have it all together. Maybe somebody in my class knows more than me, or somebody knows, and then they're gonna show that I'm just a fraud. And these are all these kinds of ideas that come up in us. And so if you start seeing that, okay, this is something that keeps coming for me, or I feel I'm confused, I don't have enough space, I'm depressed, okay, get out Buddha Dakini then. Do the Buddha Dakini practice. That kind of thing. Or now we're going to enter into the Padma realm. The Padma realm is the realm of passion. And in our universe, passion means to try to magnetically attract people to us so that we can take full advantage of them. Very often, sexually, when we're young, but as it increases, as we get older, we sort of broaden this out to whatever we're turned on to. We want everybody else to be turned on to it too, and to be actively engaged, and we're constantly manipulating situations in order to get this kind of participation, whether or not it's good for them. So for instance, if I was to say to you, come to Hawaii, go into debt, you know, that doesn't matter. Forget your children, forget all your responsibilities, and come, because it's in my interest, it's my passion to have you come. This is the occluded nature of passion. This is where we are trying to magnetize everything to us in order to fulfill our own ideas of fulfillment without any relationship to what others' needs are. Because, again, we have this sense of isolation. We are not enough. Therefore, in order to feel like we're enough, we have to galvanize relationship. In the Ratna family, we had to galvanize stuff, and we had to galvanize this idea of better than or less than. But in the Padma family, we have to galvanize relationship. We want everybody on our team. We don't care what happens to the other team. We don't care what happens to anything except what we are interested in. And we all know this is non-functional. The actual, just like in the Ratna family, the wisdom, when we move through this occluded nature, we realize that everything has worth. Everything has worth. So therefore, to the Indian family with a wall and, you know, just a few mats, but that had tremendous worth and value to them. Everything has value. Well, in the Padma family, it's to discriminate, to see carefully what is going to benefit who. What relationships benefit who? You mentioned Ho'oponopono. Ho'oponopono means to bring everything into pono, which means right relationship. Right relationship. And it's done, that practice is done as a community. Because it's quite brilliant, actually. Because what the basis is that if one person is acting out, it is not that one person's problem, it is all of our problem. And we are all responsible for dealing with that problem and for coming up with a creative solution to that problem. So the Hawaiians have this this custom of hanai, which means children determine at a certain point who they want to live with. And very often it's not their birth parents. Very often the children will want to go and apprentice to someone, or they're more attracted to an uncle, or they're more attracted to, because there is, so it doesn't mean that they don't have a relationship with their birth family. It means that they're able to choose. And this all occurs within Ho'oponopono. Everyone sits down and everybody talks about their feelings. So Uncle Mojo says whether he will accept the child or not, and what the conditions are, and where the support is going to come. Everything is discussed as a community. And everybody has something to say, or not. So a lot of times they'll just be there as a witness to say, whatever you guys want to decide, we're going to support you. But this is the idea of discriminating awareness wisdom, that we see the whole picture, very similar to what you are trying to work on there, Jenny, and your, you know, with your idea of how do we go into a community and we galvanize the community to deal with its issues as a community, not by isolating a situation and saying, okay, you guys are the problem, and so we're going to deal with you guys. But the rest of us have nothing to do with the problem that you guys have. It's sort of like the problem of drugs. Drugs are endemic, that's true in our culture right now, but why? What is the trip? Well, we have some really stupid things that we're doing. First of all, we have the rich, the middle class, and the poor, and the ones who have opportunity and the ones who don't. And then we don't really, really see that we have to find a place for everyone in society where they feel of value. We have these kids graduating from college, they're in debt up to their eyeballs and no job. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Eventually, they get pissed off. Well, this is the result, this is what causes revolution, because people don't have a place. If they don't have a place, eventually there are enough of them that go, hey, we're going to make a place. So this is the understanding of Padma. Padma is magnetic in its revealed wonder. Padma, the color red, as we know, is very attractive. It's very magnetic. So you are, but the attraction is to bring people together. to bring things together and to allow them to function. So it is seductive, but the seductiveness is not, I want to seduce you so that I can get you to show me, you know, to give me a sexual gratification. It's come and dance with me. Let's enjoy life. Let's see how we can move through life together, creating an atmosphere of passion that we all share in. Because we also know that the predator, the sexual predator, the one that wants, you know, that goes out to seduce someone, is never satisfied. That seduction does not satisfy. And it's the same with us in our life. We can attract someone to us, we can get them to be on our side, but if it's not for their benefit, it will never satisfy us, because they won't be 100% with us. So this is Padma. I'm going to carry right along, because we don't have...
It's inherently collective. Like
the wisdom is collective. We're talking about our own way of dealing with life and seeing the impulses that arise within us and the way that we engage. So a Padma person, one who is occluded Padma, will recognize immediately, because these are the people who go to a party and they're looking around to see who they can seduce. And they are never satisfied. After the seduction, there is no satisfaction. And this is an endless journey. It's an endless journey, seeking out relationship in order to gratify the self at the expense of the whole.
So it's not just all compulsion. It's always
relationship. Well, it's an energy. What do you do with the energy? It's an energy. Now, this is an energy that many of us have learned how to work with. So that it's not something that is as common as anger. But it's still an energy that exists within us. And we may find ourselves in the situation of we're passionately involved in a project. And we're so passionately involved that we don't see that the rest of the world around us is not so passionately involved. They are preoccupied with other things. And we're trying to seduce them into our thing, whether it is good for them or not. And that is the point of this whole thing, is when passion arises, is it oriented towards self, or is it oriented towards the good of all? We have to examine that, because if we don't, we are going to end up frustrated all the time. And we're going to keep trying to satisfy, seeking out new ways to satisfy this need, this passionate need, and never being satisfied. You see this again with sex, where people are, they think that the more sex they have, the more interesting sex will be. But often, the more sex they have, the less interested they are. And they keep seeking out more and more stimuli. This is why we have so many crazy ways of people trying to get off.
So is it more about lust, or is it more about addiction?
It's about relationship.
It's about relationship.
Yes.
Broader than lust.
Totally broader than lust.
Than addiction.
But see, a lot of relationship, when we think passion in relationship, we think, especially when we're a teenager and moving through our 20s and 30s, a lot of it is oriented in the gonads. You know, it sits there. And so if that's the age at which we're functioning, we have to examine that energy and see how are we using that energy. But then as we get older, that particular association doesn't apply, but the whole trying to magnetize people to us in relationships still applies. And there's tremendous amounts of frustration that go on in trying to magnetize these kinds of relationships for ourselves without the thought of the other. So if you, and we see how dissatisfied people are in relationship because of this.